This afternoon, we begin with the report from our Strategic Initiatives Department that encompasses a wide territory of activity within the National Federation of the Blind, including work on governmental affairs, but a number of other matters as well. Here is the Executive Director for Strategic Initiatives, John Paray.
Thank you, Dr. Maurin. Good afternoon, fellow Federationists. Since our last national convention, the National Federation of the Blind has responded to several capricious, gratuitous, and spurious betrayals of blind people. On October 3, 2008, the National Federation of the Blind conducted 72 coordinated protests across the United States in response to the Miramax film Blindness, based on José Saramago's novel of the same name. Imagine imagine a scenario in which all of the citizens of a fictitious city suddenly become blind. The blind citizens are betrayed as both pathetically helpless, unable to use the bathroom or wash themselves, and incredibly vicious. This film purported to be a serious artistic examination of the human condition, but by betraying blindness and using blindness as a metaphor for every bad human characteristic, and betraying blind people as unable to travel independently, communicate effectively, and maintain any concept of personal hygiene, the movie's producers substantially lowered society's expectation for all of us. By taking to the sidewalks and parking lots and streets in front of movie theaters of this nation, we let the public know the truth about blindness. Articles about our protest appeared in over 100 newspapers, and NFB members appeared in numerous television newscasts. I am happy to report that the movie was a complete flop. On December 13, 2008, Saturday Night Live betrayed New York Governor David Paterson as a blind person, unaware of his surroundings, incapable of communicating effectively, and needing constant redirection to keep him on course. The skit focused almost entirely on his blindness, asserting over and over that blindness results in comical incompetence and pathetic performance. The message the producers of Saturday Night Live sent the public was that a blind man is incapable of being governor of New York, or indeed of doing much of anything. The National Federation of the Blind responded immediately, and our comments denouncing the skit were featured on Good Morning America and CNN Headline News. In each of these cases, we were told not to take things so seriously, not to be so sensitive, and not to be so outspoken. Not only that, many people asked if the betrayal of Governor Paterson was really that far off the mark. After all, some argued, if they woke up one morning and were blind, they would panic and would not be able to do much of anything. Despite all of our public education, there are still questions like these. We must correct these misconceptions. We refuse to accept these stereotypes, and we will not be silent. People who become blind must adjust to their blindness, but doing so is not an insurmountable obstacle. We can maintain good personal hygiene, and we are aware of our surroundings. We are employable, dependable, and reasonable. We are as capable as our sighted peers, and we refuse to let any assertion to the contrary go unanswered. To all those who question our ability, our capacity, and our passion, let me be clear. We are united, we are tenacious, and we refuse to accept anything less than equal opportunity. On February 9, 2009, Amazon released the second version of its electronic book reader, the Kindle 2, which includes text-to-speech. While this device is not yet accessible to the blind, the inclusion of text-to-speech for over 300,000 books is a major step towards mainstream access for books for blind people. But under pressure from the Authors Guild, Amazon announced on February 27th that it would allow publishers and give them the ability to disable the text-to-speech function on any or all of their e-books. The National Federation of the Blind took swift action and formed the Reading Rights Coalition to represent over 15 million people in the United States who cannot read print. On April 7th, 2009, we once again took to the streets with a very effective protest outside the Authors Guild in New York City. On May 13th, publishing giant Random House began to disable speech on its books available for the Kindle 2. The Reading Rights Coalition quickly responded with a press release denouncing Random House and urging President Obama to make his books available on the Kindle 2 available with text-to-speech. The National Federation of the Blind will never stop advocating for mainstream access to e-books. We are tired of waiting. We are tired of half measures. We are tired of excuses. To the publishing industry, to Amazon, to the Authors Guild, we say it is time for action. Strategic Initiatives is also responsible for the largest electronic newspaper service in the world, NFB Newsline. Currently, NFB Newsline is available in 42 states plus the District of Columbia and includes over 285 newspapers and magazines as well as TV listings. We have recently added 4 new ways to access the newspaper in addition to the telephone. You'll be hearing about this and more detail tomorrow from Scott White. The National Federation of the Blind continues its long-standing support and advocacy for the Randolph Shepherd Program. This program continues to be, as it has historically been, the most successful targeted employment program for the blind. When, in 2008, Senator Mike Enzi of Wyoming introduced legislation which would merge Randolph Shepherd with other employment programs for the disabled, the NFB responded swiftly, shutting down this legislation. As a result of advocacy by the National Federation of the Blind, the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped of the Library of Congress is now on track to complete its transition from analog cassette books to new digital talking books by the year 2013. This past spring, NLS completed testing of 5,000 new digital talking book players, and these players will go into full-scale production and distribution this summer. Since our inception in 1940, the National Federation of the Blind has been working to increase opportunities for blind people to achieve employment. We know that the Social Security Disability Insurance Program discourages blind people from acquiring meaningful work. It does this by eliminating all of a blind person's Social Security benefit if that person earns just $1 over a specified amount of income from working. Most work that is available does not compensate for the lost benefits. This forces the blind to avoid working or to limit our income. To address this disincentive to work in the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, we proposed change the law to establish an annual earnings test. This test would be similar to the ones used in other applications of the Social Security law. Our proposal would require that when the work earnings of a blind person exceed a specified annual limit, that individual would have a gradual benefit reduction of $1 for every $3 in excess of the annual limit. On February 4, 2009, Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, a renowned champion of civil rights and great friend of the National Federation of the Blind, introduced H.R. 886, the Blind Persons Return to Work Act of 2009. H.R. 886 currently has 17 co-sponsors and will soon have companion legislation in the Senate. We must continue to work hard to get additional co-sponsor support for this important legislation. The danger posed by silent hybrid cars is real and threatens the safe travel not only for the blind, but of all pedestrians. The National Federation of the Blind has been making progress on this issue in several arenas. At the international level, the United Nations World Forum for Vehicle Harmonization has authorized an international task force to study this problem and recommend a solution. The Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers now agrees that these vehicles pose a safety hazard. As a result of our urging, the Society of Automotive Engineers has formed a committee which is working on this problem. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is also taking this issue more seriously. In fact, you'll be hearing from Ron Medford, the acting administrator of NHTSA, tomorrow. As part of our ongoing effort to emphasize to regulators and manufacturers the importance of a solution to the silent car problem, the National Federation of the Blind hosted a meeting at our National Center with 12 of the most influential regulatory and industry people in the United States regarding this topic. Ron Brown, the second vice president of the NFB, taught an intensive one-day seminar on cane travel, including 2 hours walking the streets of Baltimore with sleep shades. This session helped galvanize the participants to focus more effort on this problem and addressing a proper solution. In summary, I want to emphasize that our success is a function of each one of us working tirelessly towards a common goal. Our strength does not come from the outside, but from each one of us individually. One of the best examples I have of our collective power is the blindness movie protests. If we had conducted just one protest, we would have been much less successful. But as one of the participants at one of the smaller protests told me, quote, "As I marched past hecklers, I thought of all the other NFB members marching all over the country. It wasn't just the six of us. There were thousands of us. And I knew that our collective action would make a difference," end quote. The most important part of our Silent Vehicle Initiative is our congressional legislation. On June 18th, Jesse Hartle and Mary Jo Thorpe were married in Baltimore, Maryland. Please don't tell Mary Jo, but I talked to Jesse about this legislation just hours before the wedding. Here to talk about H.R. 734 and S. 841, the Blind Persons, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2009, as long as other legislation, is Jesse Hartle.
I actually talked to John, as he mentioned, but I think the conversation went the other way. I said, please don't tell Mary Jo that I'm talking to you about this bill today. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to first, before I get into legislation, I want to take this opportunity to thank several other members of the Strategic Initiatives team that work with us. They being Anne-Marie Laney and Allison Hammerbacker and Wanda Briggs, Chris Danielson and Jessica Free. They do so much support work for us, and I really do want you to please recognize them. I will now talk about legislation. I'm not going to talk to you about healthcare legislation. I will talk to you about blindness legislation, because that's why we're here and that's what we're going to work to improve. A couple years ago, we were able to get provisions into the Higher Education Reauthorization Act that will begin the process of providing textbooks in accessible formats to students in higher education. But part of those provisions would be to establish a commission that will solve this problem. That commission was put into place in 2009. However, the commission cannot be appointed until appropriations money to fund the commission are provided. Currently, in the fiscal year 2010, we are advocating to include funding to ensure that this commission is fully funded to ensure that blind students in higher education will receive books in an accessible format. Last year, we had the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008 introduced in the House of Representatives by Congressmen Ed Towns and Cliff Stearns. When 2008 ended, in an election year where members of Congress were fleeing Washington as soon as they can, around October 1st, we were still able to have 88 co-sponsors on a bill that was only introduced on April 9th. Of the 88 co-sponsors, 78 returned in the 110th Congress. One of those who did not return is currently the Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood from Illinois. We have work to do, however. We have 125 co-sponsors now in the House of Representatives, as we learned yesterday. But we have work to do from last year. There are still six Congress representatives in the House of Representatives who signed on to last year's bill who are not co-sponsors this year. And they are Representatives McNerney and Lofgren of California, Representatives Butterfield and Etheridge of North Carolina, Representative Andrews of New Jersey, and Representative Weiner of New York. They must continue to advocate these members. Why did they sign on last year? Was it a token sign-on? We don't need token sign-ons. We need members of Congress who take our issues seriously and will support these. And we need to ask these members, why haven't you signed on again? Why haven't you confirmed this? This year in the United States Senate, Senators John Kerry and Arlen Specter introduced companion legislation, S. 841, to the House. I am pleased to announce, I checked on Thomas this morning, we added a co-sponsor yesterday, and that is Senator David Vitter of Louisiana to this bill. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has started to take this issue a little more seriously, not because their own goodwill. They have taken this more seriously because of the work that the National Federation of the Blind has done to gain attention to this issue. It was the Nevada affiliate in 2008 who met with Majority Leader Harry Reid and talked to him about this issue. It was based on a letter that Harry Reid sent to NHTSA that got them to hold a public listening session on this issue. When NHTSA saw that that bill, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008, was not going to pass the Congress, they did nothing for about 10 months. Why did they start to do something again? They saw that in 2 months after reintroduction of the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, that 100 members of the House were signed on in support of that bill. That work was done by the National Federation of the Blind. NHTSA is currently doing a study to find out a solution to this problem. However, at this time, NHTSA has not agreed to do any regulations based on the result of that study. A study without regulations tells us what we in the National Federation of the Blind already know. These cars are dangerous to blind people. If we're not going to regulate them, we are no safer knowing the current solution than we are today. We must be committed to the only way of solving this problem, and that is getting a regulation. Right now, the only way that we can ensure regulation is passage of the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, and that is our responsibility to get this legislation passed. I will say this. There are only 435 members in the House of Representatives. At the National Federation of the Blind, we have 700 local chapters. We almost outnumber members of the House of Representatives 2-1. I was going to say that there are 40 states represented by representatives on H.R. 734. Yesterday, we learned that the 41st state was added when Congressman John Conyers committed to co-sponsoring this legislation. Finally, and many of you may not understand the importance that that is for the Michigan affiliate. This is Michigan, where the auto industry is so important, and no member of Congress to this point had taken a step outside of that support for the auto industry. But finally, the Michigan affiliate has a champion who said, yes, the auto industry is vital, but safety for the blind and other pedestrians is equally important. And that is going to help the Michigan affiliate continue to build co-sponsors. Many people want to know how we're going to achieve this goal of getting the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act passed. I know that all I need to get this bill passed is in this room. It's the collective action that this organization is committed to and will be committed to. We need to contact our members week after week after week. Get a hold of them. It's the Illinois affiliate who, since Washington Seminar, has met with half of their representatives back in Illinois. We need to do that everywhere. It's the Maryland affiliate who chased Congressman Sarbanes around Baltimore City for a week at town hall meetings until he committed to co-sponsor. It's Angelina in Rhode Island going to spaghetti dinner after spaghetti dinner bringing the issues in front of the legislators. This is how we do it. It's not just Washington Seminar. It's back home in the district where we can be a force, and the grassroots effort carries us through. People say that the noise made by automobiles is from the wheel. It's the sound of the wheel that people are hearing. I don't know if that's true. What I do know about wheels in DC is that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And that's what I want the National Federation of the Blind to be in DC. It's the squeaky wheel that will get the grease and ensure pedestrian safety. Let's get these bills passed. Thank you very much.